So I've been tasked to preach on a series for Wisdom for Families from the Proverbs. And, you know, we just started last week on reading the word that we're going to be preaching on in a different language, because our church is a multicultural church. It's not a Kiwi church, not a Filipino church, but it's a multicultural church, as the first church was. So I'm just going to invite my brother here, Alvin, to read us our reading for today in his language. Come on, bro.
Hi, good morning all. I'll be reading the word in Afrikaans. I believe it's a mix between Dutch and German. Verse 1. Meisie en luister mooi na wat ek vir jou sê. Bewaar wat ek vir jou leer. Verse 2. Spits jou ore vir die wysheid. Span in om dit te verstaan. Verse 3. Roep na insig. Roep hardop vir begrip. Verse 4. Soek daarna soos jy na silwer soek. Spoor dit op soos 'n versteekte skat. Dan sal jy weet wat dit beteken om respek te hê vir die Here. Jy sal leer om God te ken. Dit is tog die Here wat wysheid gee. Sy woorde gee kennis en insig.
Thank you very much. Man, it's like hearing someone speak in tongues. It's awesome. So what was that in English? There we go. He read Proverbs 2, 1 to 8 that I asked him. However, I'm going to read it to you because that's not the whole, you know, I didn't put the whole thing there. But if you could just go to Proverbs 2 and just follow alongside with me with whatever version you have, it goes like this. It says there, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her," this is wisdom, "search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. For his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he watches over the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, and integrity, and every good path." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful languages that you've created, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each and every person here will be blessed today. As Pastor Dad said, let no one leave this place without taking their share of your blessings, Lord. So bless us, Lord. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. So today is about God's wisdom, or the wisdom of God. You might find it there. They refer to wisdom here in this passage as a she. So if you seek her like silver, search her like hidden treasures. They call it, in the ancient days, they call it lady wisdom. So we'll get on with that a little bit later with some examples. But first, let's go straight into it. The pursuit of wisdom. Now, wisdom is very important. The previous slides, please. And we've just read what King Solomon wrote, very wise king. "If you receive my words, treasure my commands within you. Be attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Cry out for insight. Raise your voice for understanding. Seek her," there we go, "seek her like silver, seek her like hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear, the reverence, not just fear because I'm afraid of God, but the fear, the awesomeness of the Lord, and you will discover the knowledge of God. because the Lord gives wisdom, which is verse 6. This chapter encouraged us, as readers, to actively seek wisdom. You know, this is something that it's not just about let's read something so we can get knowledge. Knowledge is different from wisdom. It urges us to look intentively. You know, it's active looking. And the Bible knowledge is easy to get, right? Do you agree with me? You can get the Bible anywhere. You know, I preach on a tablet. You know, you guys don't know, I might be watching the news right now and just pretending that I'm preaching. But we all, or most of us, have phones, right? We can get the we can get articles, we can even get the actual Bible in there. And the phones gives us access to a whole bunch of information. So it's easy to acquire knowledge about the Bible. So there's lots of information out there, but it does not equate directly with wisdom. You know, knowledge is not wisdom. Because according to the words of Solomon, wisdom must be pursued. Must be pursued. You want to have it. And it goes beyond the, you know, the I know part. You know, I've read the Bible, I think, four times now, from cover to cover. But that doesn't mean I'm wise. You know, like biblically sound wise. I just know it. You know, you gotta want to know more. It's like more than want to know. You want to understand it. You know, you wanna see it with your own eyes. You know, every time I read those lines, when I wrote it this morning, I keep remembering Nacho Libre. You know, he wants to win in this wrestling. It's a movie. It's a comedy about he's a priest, but they were banned from doing wrestling. So he secretly wrestles at night. And he wants to win so bad, because they lose. They always lose. And he wants to win so bad. You know, I want to taste it. I want to taste victory. See what it tastes like. That's what he says. That's how we should be pursuing wisdom. I need to know, but I don't just need to know. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to see it with our own eyes. Because in our families, it's not just about, you know, hey, read the Bible, or let's memorize some verses, you know. That's usually the start. Yes, it's good, but that's only for the start. Wisdom needs to be understood, and it needs to be actioned. Those are two things, right? Last week, I talked about love and hate, and both demands action. It asks you to do something. And wisdom, according to Jesus, wisdom is proved by action. On the next verse there, I hope you can read it because it's small. Written in red. The next slide, please. This is Jesus telling his disciples, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a heavy drinker, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' And yet wisdom is vindicated or justified by her deeds." Once again, her, Jesus referring to back in the Old Testament of wisdom being Lady Wisdom, her. So we pursue her with intent. So Jesus here is saying that, you know, wisdom is not just by words. Wisdom is through action. It shows through action. And Jesus is our living example of wisdom. He talked the talk, and he walked the walk, right? That's wisdom. I was meeting this couple one time, and the guy pulled out the worst thing that you can say in a couple's meeting, and he said, "Hey, doesn't the Bible teaches you that woman should be subject to her husband?" Right? That's true, right? Woman should be subject to her husband. But this guy is not a believer. Doesn't really know the Bible. He just heard it, and he's using it against the woman. So I had to correct him there and then. It's like, yeah, that is actually what the Bible said. But I'm going to, sorry, sidetrack a little bit. I just have to make this point. But in Ephesians, if you actually read the Bible, you know, That's why I warn people. If you don't know the Bible, don't quote. If you don't believe the Bible, you claim you're atheist, please don't quote the Bible because it's going to be wrong. And this person is quoting the Bible saying, yay, doesn't your faith teaches you woman should be subject to her husband? But listen to this. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So first of all, I asked them, are you prepared to die for your woman? You know? Are you prepared to study the word so you can minister to your wife so she, you know, she learns and she can be presented back to Christ, spotless, blameless? Are you ready, men? You know, husbands? So the lesson there is that, right, I'm gonna put it back to this. Because that's not wisdom on his part. Because he's saying one thing and doing the other. He was putting the woman down in front of me and using what I studied most as an example when he doesn't actually believe in it, you know. So wisdom is not just expressed in words, what Jesus is saying, but in action. You know, you can't just say, hey, I know everything about your faith, but I'm just going to keep, you know, ignoring my wife or treat her wrong. That's not wisdom at all. Wisdom must be pursued with great intent. Okay, second point I want to make is that divine source of wisdom. Where does it come from? The source of our wisdom, verse 6 and half of verse 7 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. So God is the ultimate source of wisdom. Not just that, knowledge and understanding. And wisdom is a gift from God. The writer of this book, Book of Proverbs, is King Solomon, King David's son, who received his wisdom from God. So if you want to read that, it's on 1 Kings chapter 3. Here we will find Solomon praying to God because he is the king, and he has to rule over all of Israel. And he said that he's a young man, and it is just too much for him. So he asked the Lord for understanding heart, for justice and discernment of good and evil. That's all he asked. What did God say? God said, because you didn't ask for riches or long life and all that jazz, I'll give them to you, but I will give you your request, which is wisdom and understanding for justice. So the added things like riches and long life, that was just added on after. Paul, in the meantime, in the New Testament, talks about Jesus in 1 Corinthians. This is just reference for you. 1 Corinthians 1 and Colossians 2. He refers to Jesus as wisdom. You know, in this line of thought, if we are to pursue wisdom, who do we pursue? Jesus. We pursue Jesus. Because a few messages ago, I talked about, you know, the first church being devoted to the apostles' teaching. And the only reason that is the case and not say, you know, they should be devoted to Jesus is because they don't have the New Testament like we do now. You know, they don't have the Bible. So the only place where they can get Jesus' teaching is through the apostles. Right? Because these are the people who carried the teachings and saw the wisdom of Jesus, so they are the source. But God here is the source of wisdom, right? So reading the Bible goes hand in hand with asking, praying the Lord for wisdom. So if you ask for wisdom, I am sure that God can give it to you. But, like King Solomon, you have to pursue it. So we have the Bible, so don't just read it, please. understand it and look for ways to act on it. Not only that, you know, we are in fellowship with one another. We don't just look for ways to do it, but we also look for other people to show us how wisdom is applied. Matthew 7, verse 24, once again, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So if you have the word, you act on it, that's wisdom. Let me tell you about this this man. We used to call him Mang Dads. Or, you know, in the Philippines, Mang is sort of a, it's a respectful way to call a you know, an elder, like sir or mister. Because he didn't want to be called Uncle Dads, you know, when we were here. So he prefers Mang Dads. So we called him Mang Dads. I knew him as a pastor because he came from the Philippines and he was he did the ceremony for my parents' 25th. So that's how I knew him. And the good thing about him is that he never pushed Christianity to me. I don't know how he did with the other guys, but not to me. He didn't demand that I become a pastor or a worship leader or, you know, a biblical scholar or anything like that before I could pursue Ezra. It was just, yeah. That came later as a result, right? So he didn't say, "Okay, I'll let you marry Ezra if you become the church pastor." No, it wasn't like that. That's probably why he never pushed it to me. But you see, I followed him because I saw something, you know, something in him. He was so blessed. And I've always thought, oh, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are working hard and all that, but he's so blessed. Something's with his family, you know. Ezra, Hannah, Mom, and Hannah. No, Kyle wasn't here yet. Yeah. So in my early life as a Christian, he was one of the main sources of godly wisdom to me. You know, he was so blessed, and he lived what he preached. That was the thing. You know, it wasn't like he preached and then he does something else after. So he lived as he preached, and that was wisdom to me. That was godly wisdom. I read the Bible after that many times, but that's just knowledge. But after meeting this family and understanding, we did Bible studies at their place, you know, the youth, which is just Ezra, myself, Hannah. We were the youth. So understanding and seeing it in action, that, what you know, action through this man, that was just godly wisdom. So thank you, Dad. So it's also, you know, this point is also good for us as Christians, because not only are our children seeing this, you know, when we tell them something about God, oh, you pray to God, you know, and then we don't do it. You know, it speaks volumes to our children. But it's not only for them, you know, when they experience it through us. It's also for those who are outside the church. You know, your neighbors who are not Christians, your workmates and all that, because they will see it. Right? They will see it. And not only that, they are usually the first to point out, you know, what type of godly wisdom or ungodly wisdom you carry. You know, we had someone come out before and contacted me and said, "Oh, this and this happened. You know, that's unchristian-like." And I thought, but you're not a Christian. So how would you know what a Christian is? Right? But I can't argue with that, because she must have seen someone who said they're Christian and acted a particular way. So we will be seen regardless of whether we're, you know, what we're doing, and that godly or ungodly wisdom will show. So pray to God that he will give you wisdom that will draw people closer to him, not to us, right? So, pursuing wisdom, why even pursue wisdom? Because there's benefits. And the benefits are good. It says here from second half of 7 to 12, he is a shield to those who walk with integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And he watches over the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, and integrity in every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be delightful to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you to rescue you from the way of evil. That is nice. I wish that was in my employment contract. You know, it tells us positive things about wisdom. You know, first of all, there is, on the next slide, protection. Wisdom protects us. It provides protection. It steers us away from things that are harmful, right? Second is discernment, knowing that something is right or wrong. Wisdom provides guidance, helping us make wise choices. And number three, righteous living. Wisdom leads to a path of righteousness, justice, and integrity, resulting in a life that is pleasing to the Lord, right? You know, at work, we have these protocols, you know, these rules that you follow so you don't get in trouble, right? And I've been pushing to the company that we have a standard written something. There's a lot of unwritten rules, you know, when you work, and you just do it because that's how they trained you. But if you look at it and say, oh, there's nothing in this that says this is how we do it. But I've been pushing for something that's written and standardized for the whole company. Because there's three sites. There's the Auckland, the Palmerston North, and Christchurch. And we kind of all do it slightly different from one another. You know, we're supposed to be one company, right? And, oh, where was I? So the idea is that we all who work in it will have the exact same information, exact same delivery in our jobs. And obedience, I'll just call it obedience because it's the word that we have here at church. Obedience to these protocols protect the individual, you know, protect the company name as well. You know, you don't want to be giving your company a bad name. Not only that, protocols helps productivity, workflow to run smooth and efficient, right? That's why you have rules. That's why you have all that. However, we are not in a perfect world, so we are not there yet. And daily, I get calls like, "Can I do this?" You know, one of my guys would call me, "Hey, this doesn't work, or this doesn't look right. Can I do it something else, in a different way?" Or sometimes I get an order for something that I personally make, and it's just ridiculous, near impossible to make. You know, because someone didn't follow protocol. I have to remind my team that, look, this is what we talked about. This is how we do it now. We stick to this, and it will protect us. Protect us. You know, I was in a meeting before, and it was supposed to be just a standard meeting. I'm supposed to measure for an access ramp, and four guys came to visit me in my job site, and they started asking questions. These are engineers and all that, and they're asking questions on what's the standard for this and that. And I told them we only go up to 1 meter. That's it. Anything higher, we don't do. And then another guy said, "Oh, but council says you can go up to 1.5 meters. And I said, "Nope. Well, that's the council, but we work, this is our thing. 1 meter or no. No access ramp at all. So I could have just said, "Yeah, we could squeeze it in, you know, maybe we could do this and do that, and hopefully no one notices in the council." But I have to protect myself and my company name. And because we have that rule that says nothing over 1 meter, you know, blame the protocol, not me. I'm just working under that. So no offense was taken, and we left there like nothing ever happened, which is good. Now, where was I? Sorry. Once again, it goes back to our church family. We are accountable to each other, right? Right? Yeah. So when we see a brother or sister losing their way, we are, as a church, as a family, we are to help them get back into the godly path. And how we do that? By reminding them of what God has called us into, which is living a life pleasing to Him that serves as a testimony for those who are looking at us. Yeah, so when you are in any given situation, when you are unsure what to do, or you have the choice to make, but you don't know what choice to make, I would say look at the Bible, look in there. What does it say about, you know, your situation? That's usually the case. If you actually have a Bible, I had my Bible. I was holding it this morning, and then we kind of got into a rush, and I left my Bible somewhere. No, I didn't bring it here. At the back of my Bible, there is a portion there that says what to do or what to read when, and it gives you a list of different scenarios, like when I'm in lack, you know, when I'm afraid, when I'm feeling anxious. It says it gives you all the readings that you can do, and you know, and prayers that you can make. So hopefully, you guys have that in your Bibles. And it goes back to that term, what would Jesus do, right? You know, we had the bracelet, WWJD. It's cool until you get sweaty and it smells. But the thing is, what if the person, or, you know, I can't assume everyone here knows who Jesus is, like truly, that when you ask, what would Jesus do, they would go, oh yeah, I know, what would he do, you know? So the question shouldn't be what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus taught? It's a good question, especially, as I said before, if you don't, you're not comfortable or you're not secure on who Jesus is, you don't know him that well, you got to ask the question, what did Jesus taught in this situation? So the last point I have here is the warning against evils, which I don't think I should go in depth, you know. They've given us plenty of example, but King David here just add on a lot more. But the chapter, the end of the chapter, just gives us a warning against the, you know, the enticement of evil, highlighting the dangers of associating with wicked individuals, and these wicked individuals will lead you, not just lead you, will pull you through destruction. Yeah, so it warns us. So it's not just talking about wisdom. Wisdom is great, but it also warns us that there are people there that you sometimes you really need wisdom, and if you lack the wisdom, you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you stay out of it. So there is great benefits of pursuing wisdom, but not worldly wisdom, you know, godly wisdom. It goes beyond just reading. You know, I always promote read your Bibles, memorize key verses if you can. That's only a good start, you know. There is wisdom that is something that is seen, something that is actioned, and you see it in people. And pursuing a relationship with Jesus and the church alongside your Bible readings, your readings and all that, is a must for every Christian, for each and every person here in this room, for us to grow our faith. Remember, what this did Jesus taught? Just remember that phrase. And these are the, you know, a bigger picture of what Jesus taught. So first is in Matthew 11, verse 19. We've already read, the Son of Man came in. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. So wisdom is justified by her works. You see it. Matthew 7, 24 to 25. Anyone who hears the word of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. What happens after that? The rain fell and the floods came. The winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Wise man. So wisdom needs action. It is displayed to be seen and not merely spoken. So I'm going to close there. But once again, I just want to go back into what I started last week. If you are struggling with your faith, you're struggling with what Christianity is, or you know, you don't know really what Christianity is, where to even start. You know, if you're unsure of your salvation, you know, it always creeps behind your mind. Am I really saved? You know, you get out of this building and you die. Can you answer, am I really going to God or am I going somewhere else? If you can't answer that wholeheartedly, I want to talk to you, you know. Not to tell you off, just to reassure you where we are in faith, where you are in faith in Christ. But for now, I would embarrass you by getting you to stand up, but no. We'll all stand up together. You know who you are. So if we could just all stand up as a church and let's pray. And if this is you, just come see me quietly after. And we'll pray for you. We'll make things clear for you if we can. But for now, just open your heart. Father, we thank you for the word, the guidance you've given us. I pray for wisdom for each and every person hearing this message, those who are sitting here right now, Lord. Lord, send your spirit to convict them right there in the heart, Lord, what they need to do. Lord, if they have any doubt, if there's any seed of doubt in their heart or in their minds, Lord, lurking at the back of their heads, or whether they are part of your family, or whether they know you or not, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will come and teach us, guide us in all the truth, Lord, as your word said. Yes, Lord, let each and every person walk out of here knowing that they are part of your family, that you are always with them. Lord, your word says that you will never forsake us. So, Lord, I just pray over them. Bless them, Lord, as they go in their weeks, they go on their workplace, they go for those who are not working yet, to go on their school places or their place of social, Lord. May your light shine through them, Lord. And may the words that I speak that's coming out of their mouths, Lord, may they match the actions that they do. And people see it as wisdom and as wisdom that is coming from you, Lord. So embolden them, Lord. Speak through them the love that you have for your people in this world. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.